Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Pastors, churches, and political activity. Today, we're going to dispel the myths regarding this issue. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this important issue of pastors, churches, and political activity. What is the permissible involvement that pastors and churches can have in political activity? And we're going to break it down into two different ways. First of all, we're going to talk about the ability to engage in lobbying for or against legislation or laws or ordinances. Then after that, we're going to talk about political intervention, supporting or opposing candidates for office. Let's first of all look, Matt, at lobbying. Lobbying is defined by the IRS as being in favor of or opposing a local, state, or national piece of legislation. That's the definition of it. But before we even get there, let's talk a little bit about the difference between churches and nonprofits, because there's a significant difference between the two.
Okay, well, the myth is, Matt, that churches can't do any lobbying at all when it comes to legislation, when it comes to ballot initiatives, and so forth, whether it be municipal, countywide, statewide, or federal. Is that true? Can churches, are they prohibited?
No, it's not true. In fact, not one church since this restriction came into the IRS code in 1934 has ever lost its tax-exempt status for lobbying, being in favor of or opposing some local, state, or national law. Churches are different than other nonprofit organizations. Nonprofit organizations that are not churches, in order to be considered 501c3 tax-exempt organizations to which contributions are tax-deductible, that's a 501c3, any organization that's not a church has to apply to the IRS and receive a tax-exempt status letter. You're not tax-exempt until you have that letter, and if that letter is revoked, then you lose your tax-exempt status.
But you said churches, any church. You mean any nonprofit.
Any nonprofit. That's not a church.
Organization, right.
That's right. But churches don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. They're exempted from that process, which is a significant difference. They don't need the letter. Therefore, the IRS does not have that to hang over your head. So in other words, if you were a nonprofit, not a church, and you crossed the line on whatever issue, political intervention or lobbying, and the IRS took your letter, the nonprofit that's not a church would have to apply, and it would take 12 to 24 months to obtain another letter, at which time you wouldn't have tax exemption. If, on the other hand, you were a church and you crossed the line, say on Monday, but on Tuesday, you decided to no longer support or oppose a particular law or a candidate, then it's like you're born again because it's a brand new day. It's as though you were birthed on that day brand new. You don't need a letter to be tax exempt. So if you stop the activity that is the violation, then your tax exemption comes right back into existence, even if it were revoked. Not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status since 1934 when this lobbying restriction came into the IRS code.
Well, churches, by virtue of being churches, are tax-exempt.
That's right.
Naturally tax-exempt. So I was born, I have a number of different, I'm kind of a mutt, but I've got a Czech descent. So by virtue of being born with a family that of Czech descent, Czechoslovakian descent, I have that. It's the same with the church. It's in the blood of the church, the nonprofit status.
Part of the church's DNA.
It's part of their DNA.
That's right. And so that is a significant difference, a major difference. So you don't have that interim period of not being exempt as long as you don't do—
And the IRS can't remove that from the church's DNA. There's no—
No, it's just part of it. So you start a church today, you're exempt today. You don't need to apply for a letter. Some churches have letters, some churches don't. It's about half and half. If you have a letter, I wouldn't recommend that you go get one. If you don't have a letter, you don't. If you have a letter, you don't need to get one dissolve it. But if you don't have a letter, you don't need to obtain one.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference at all. Now let's look at a permissible level of a nonprofit organization in general that can engage in lobbying without any problems at all. This would be a church or non-church, no problems at all. And generally, there's parameter of 5% is fine of your activity, 15% may cross the line. Now, in the worst case scenario, even if you cross the line, it's not loss of your tax exempt status. It's a penalty of about 20% or so of the money that you spent towards the impermissible activity. So if you spent $100 towards lobbying, if that were the issue or the candidate, you get a $20 fine. So it's minimal even if you were across the line. So the whole point here, though, is don't be concerned about this.
Yeah. Well, let's define our terms here for a minute. When we're talking about lobbying, does that doesn't mean that a church can only or a pastor can only spend 5% of his time talking about issues that may happen to be political in nature because they're moral and they're also political issues. That's not what we're talking about. You're talking about specifically like in California for Proposition 8.
That's right. Encouraging people to
support
Proposition 8. Encouraging people to go down and oppose a sexually oriented business law or support it, whatever the issue may be, at the local city council.
Now, is there any mandate from the IRS that they somehow keep a log of how much time they spend? I mean, how would they even enforce that?
And you can talk about the issues all the time, all day long. Yeah. Just because politicians are talking about them in terms of laws doesn't mean that they become lobbying issues. It's only when you actively get involved and you take a position to support or oppose one and you're encouraging other people to do the same. But let's look at this. A church that has 3 hours of activity on Sunday, 9 to 12, and an hour and a half midweek, 7 to 8:30, has a total amount of activity of 4.5 hours a week. Now, this is a church that has no paid staff and no volunteerism. So, in other words, before 9 and after 12, there's no activity, zero, no preparation, nothing. Sunday school teachers, they don't prepare for the lesson. Pastor doesn't prepare for the sermon. There's no activity outside the 4.5 hours. I mean, that's a church that just doesn't exist. You don't have a church that does that minimal. But assuming that you did, 5% of that is 13.5 minutes. That church that does nothing with no volunteers, no paid staff, could spend 13.5 minutes every Sunday.
Right there on the pulpit.
In the pulpit, encouraging people to go down to the city council
and
support this particular law. Now, if the church didn't do it for 2 weeks, then it's 13.5 minutes times two. If it didn't say anything for 3 weeks, it's 13.5 minutes times three and so forth. Now, if you have a pastor that's paid 40 hours and an assistant 20 hours and five members prepare 1 hour a week for Sunday school, you've got 69.5 hours. That means that that church, which is still nothing, could spend 3.5 hours a week on lobbying, 3.5 hours every single week.
The takeaway from this for me, Matt, and tell me if I'm wrong here, is that A, there's really no record keeping or anything that, you know, there's no way the IRS can come in and even prove or disprove any amount. But even if there were, it would be near to impossible for a pastor to spend too much time lobbying for any specific legislation or initiative.
No question. That's why no church has even come close to losing
the
tax and status. Yeah, it would be impossible. And then if you add a real church with real volunteers and real paid staff and you add all the activity up together, you'd have to literally turn your church into a full-time lobbying machine to even come close to the 5%, which we know is fine. 15%, yeah. And we're just talking about 5%.
You'd never even reach the 5%.
We're not even talking about 10 or 15%. 5% is fine. We know that 15% is the outer limit. You would have to be a lobbying machine all the time.
This is why we call it a myth.
To cross the line. That's why it's a myth.
It's a myth. The ACLU, People for the American Way, particularly Barry Lynn and his group, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, they're nothing but paper tigers. They have these empty threats, these nasty letters they send out to pastors and churches across the country. If you get those folks, line your birdcage with them because that's the
only thing that they're worth. And you know that not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status for doing so. It's not only involving lobbying for or against a piece of legislation, but as you mentioned, also initiatives like marriage amendments. That also falls in lobbying. And also people that are appointed. So it may be a person that's appointed by the president or the governor. That falls in lobbying. They're not a candidate for public office. So you can oppose or support those individuals specifically with the name of the church, and that falls in the lobbying category. So be biblical advocates. That's what we're recommending. Become a biblical advocate for your values and make a difference locally on the state and the federal level as well. For more information, you can go to lc.org. That's lc.org. Again, the website is lc.org. And we also have additional websites that you can find other information about issues that affect family, faith, and freedom. LibertyCouncil.com is our other website, but you can get to all of those through our main website, lc.org. I think it's important for pastors and churches to understand this information, and that's why we've created a DVD called Silence is Not an Option. We have a Pastors and Patriots Action Pack. You can obtain that by calling Liberty Council 1-800-671-1776. We are sending out thousands and thousands of these around the country. And this year, we will be sending out tens of thousands and continue to do so, speaking to pastors all over this country, encouraging them to exchange the muzzle that the world and the progressives want to put on them and instead use a megaphone. There is no reason to be concerned or fearful over losing your tax-exempt status for lobbying on issues of biblical importance.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.